Well, we're continuing our series today. We called it Game Plan. We're kind of sticking with the sports metaphor. Game Plan, strategies for winning relationships. Okay, last week I gave you, I give you some practical steps, some things that we can do just this week to kind of live into this teaching of God's word. And one of them was to do an unexpected act of service. Anybody remember that? An unexpected act of service, expecting nothing in return. So I thought, I gotta practice what I'm preaching. So I don't know how this works around your house, but it's always kind of a thing. It's like, who's gonna take the trash bin out to the street, and then who's gonna get it and put it back in the garage? Well, Alicia had already beat me to it that morning. She put the trash bin out at the edge of the street. I got home early that day, so I thought, I got this. I'm gonna be the hero today. I walked out to that curb, I grabbed that trash bin, pulled it back into the garage. I was feeling pretty good about myself. Till about 30 minutes later when the garbage truck rolled by. I brought in a trash bin with the trash in it. But isn't that kind of how life goes a lot of times? I mean, we try to do things on our own. We're like, I got this. And at the end of the day, all we end up doing is just bringing in the same old junk right back into our lives. Friend, I am so excited to tell you that God has a better plan for your life. He has a better game plan for your life. And we're going to talk about that today, but I want to begin by asking you this question. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about your three closest friends. Now, for the sake of this exercise, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about someone in your family, but I'm talking about your three closest friends. We're going to call these your 2 a.m. friends. They're the ones that you can call at 2 a.m. in the morning. They're going to pick up. They can call you. You're going to pick up. They are the ones who have seen the good and the bad and the downright ugly. And these are the people that still have your back. Three people. You got them in your mind? If you got to three people, then you are one above the national average. Here in America is only 2 close friends. That's down from 6, the average of 6 closest friends, and that was 30 years ago. Sociologists tell us through research that 1 out of 4 can't name one single person who would be that type of close friend to them. Now, why does all of this matter? Well, maybe you've heard the saying, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your people, I will show you your purpose. If we're sticking with the sports, show me your huddle, I'll show you your habits. Here's the way that we're gonna say this today, and this is gonna be our bottom line. I hope this sticks with you. But the right people will help you become the right person. Well, say that with me, if you will. The right people will help you become the right person. Now, these aren't my words. I actually got this from the wisest person who ever lived. Solomon, who lived, he said this in Proverbs 12. He said, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. In Proverbs 13, he says something very similar to that. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Translation, your friends, your closest relationships are shaping your future. The right people will lift you up, lead you to become more like Christ. The wrong people will pull you down and lead you to desire Christ even less in your life. The right people in your life will help you become the right person. And so this is really important, who we choose to be in our life, to be that closest relationship, to be the people around us. So, God has a better game plan for you. This is not just a good idea, okay? In fact, science and sociology has proven what the Bible already says is true, and that we will become like the people that we're around. If you want to have a stronger marriage, then you need to be hanging around people who love their spouse well. Think about the closest three people that you have around you. If you want to grow spiritually, then you need to be around people who are also on the journey of faith, growing spiritually, and would challenge you to grow spiritually. If you hang out with bitter, cynical, jaded, negative people, guess what you're going to become? All of the above. But God has a different game plan for you. In keeping with the sports metaphor, we can't run the right play. We can't do relationships God's way if we don't huddle up. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel 18, we find David. Now, even if you're not familiar with the Bible, you probably familiar with David. David, in the chapter before this, yeah, he's the guy who slays the giant Goliath. David and Goliath. David, who is about to become king, he's not king yet, but in chapter 18, he has a couple relationships. One is a relationship that is draining him. Another relationship that is strengthening him. He has a relationship with Saul, who is currently King Saul. And King Saul, he's taking advantage of David. He's leveraging that relationship for himself. But Jonathan is the relationship. He is a true friend to David. Now, if anybody had a reason to compete with David, it would have been Jonathan, because Jonathan is the son of King Saul. Now, Jonathan was the one who, he was supposed to become the next king. He was the rightful heir to the throne. So if anybody would want to compete with David, if anyone would want to fight David, it would have been Jonathan, yet Jonathan is the one that stands by him. He sees something happening in David's life and he says, I don't want to fight it. I want to fight for you. And so here's what we see. Let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, what's all that about? He's giving him these things, his tunic, his robe, his sword, bow, the belt. What is all of that? This is not just a gift that Jonathan is giving David. He's making a declaration. He's making a statement. These things were the things that were the status symbol of Jonathan's coming kingship. And instead of wearing it, he gives it to David to say to David, I'm submitting to you. I see what God is doing in your life. I see the anointing on your life. And so Jonathan, against all odds, becomes David's closest ally and a great friend. That's what the right people do. Today, I want us to look at just a few things that we can come to learn in this text about what the right people do. The first thing I want us to see is that the right people show up for you. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to have friends when times are good? And then have you ever noticed how hard it is to find friends in the hard times? Those fair weather friends, you hit the hard times and you look around and everyone's gone. Well, this is a hard time in David's life. We want to fast forward to chapter 23 in 1 Samuel. What we find is that King Saul wants to end David's life. He's chasing him. He is pursuing him to kill him. And in the midst of that, guess who shows up for David? Jonathan. Jonathan shows up for David. in the midst of that. Now, this is at risk to his own life. I mean, this is his father who's chasing David across the country. And for Jonathan to show up is at risk to his own life, his own future. But yet he does it anyway. Look at this, chapter 23. Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. So this isn't just something nice that Jonathan's doing. I mean, he could have just, you know, like texted David like, hey, praying for you, bro. Sorry about, you know, my dad trying to kill you and stuff. Okay, in ancient times, he could have sent a message. He could have sent a messenger, right? You know, open the scroll, thinking about you. I don't know. But he didn't do that. He didn't just send him. And listen, sometimes that's all we can do, right? Sometimes that's all I can do. If that's all you can do, send the text, right? Make the call. But Jonathan takes this a next step. He shows up for David when he needs it. Have you ever experienced someone just showing up for you? I mean, especially in the hard times. But that presence, they don't have to say anything. They don't even have to do anything. They just show up. I was speaking at a conference in Little Rock this past week, and a couple guys drove 2.5 hours, surprised me. I didn't even know that they were coming. I didn't even know that they knew that I was there. Right before I'm about to go up and speak, they just show up and they go, hey, we just came here today just to say we love you and look you in the eye and say, are you doing okay? That meant the world to me. I was ready to run through a brick wall. I mean, you guys just drove here today. You took 2.5 hours, 2.5, that's 5 hours. Y'all took all that time just to come say that to me? It's the power of presence when someone just shows up for you. Now, this isn't just about someone showing up for us, but I want us to ask the question, who are we showing up for? I gotta tell you this story. Steve Doss oversees our care team members here. And what they do, you may not know this, but they would just go visit people, whether someone's in the hospital or, you know, someone's maybe at an assisted living home, whatever it is, if they can surface the need, they go to show up. And so one of the care team members, he was telling me this story, went to an assisted living home just to spend some time with somebody. And as they were walking out of the place, that they noticed this lady was sitting in a wheelchair by the front door to the entrance. Well, they came back the next week to make the visit again, and they noticed same lady, same chair, same door. They walked out, same lady, same chair, same door. She was still there. So they came back the next week to do the visit. Guess what? Same lady, same chair, same door, right there at the entrance. And this care team member that said, you know, something just kind of felt this nudge, like, just stop. Talk to them. Spend some time with them. About 5-minute conversation. No rush. No agenda. Just showing up, just taking some time for someone. Well, this kind of became the routine. They would come and they would do the visit, and guess what? Same lady, same chair, same door. She was there all the time. And so every time she would walk out, the care team member would just spend some time talking. And one day, one of the workers there just stopped her and said, hey, I just want to say thank you to you. I've noticed that you've been taking time with her. And I want you to know that in the years that I have been here, at least to my knowledge, she's never received one visitor. I wonder sometimes if I move so fast that I just miss those moments. Just to slow down and to be able to see the people around us. To show up. It's what the right people do. The people that you want in your life, they show up. But I want us to take this a step deeper. The right people don't just show up. The right people, they sacrifice for your success. Isn't this what we saw Jonathan do? I mean, look again, go back to verse 4. Jonathan gave David his robe, sword, and belt. Can you imagine how many times Jonathan might have envisioned growing up, becoming king? I don't know if maybe he had a play sword, maybe a play crown or something. Just the moments that he would envision. One day I'm going to be seated on the throne. That's what he was handing over. That future that he had envisioned, that everyone had envisioned for him, he was sacrificing. It was precious to him, but he was sacrificing it for David's success. He saw what God was doing. He saw the anointing on David's life. He saw what God was doing in David's life, and he wanted to be a part of it. He didn't want to be against it. He said, I want to be here for you. I'm going to be here for it. I want to be here for you. And so this is what Jonathan did, is he laid that down. He sacrificed. You see, the right people, the right friends, they're not going to compete with you. They're not going to behind your back kind of root against you. They're not going to compete. These are the people who are going to celebrate you and celebrate your success. Do you have some people around you like that? They're going to be for you. They're not just going to be for what you're for. You ever had people in your life that are for what you're for? And in the moment you're not for what they're for, they're gone. The right people are for you. Now, I think it's important for us to say, when we talk about sacrifice, that sacrifice does not equal self-destruction. Some of you are holding on to toxic relationships because you're going to fix someone. Can I say this in love? They have a Savior, and it's not you. Some of you, when it comes to sacrifice, this is not a call to step deeper into the relationship. This is a call to step out of it. Now, I want to be very clear. We're talking about friendships here. I don't want anybody going home and saying, Travis told me to get a divorce. Don't you do that. Don't take my words out of context. We're trying to do the opposite here. But when it comes to friendships, those people who are closest to us having such an impact on our lives, some of us need to be willing to sacrifice the right things. Jonathan, he didn't just throw boundaries out. I mean, he would have just followed in the steps of his father. He would have just jumped right into that dysfunction, but instead he follows God's activity and God's will for David's life. And he knows what to sacrifice for. Some of us, that's a call today. Who's sacrificing for your success? Who are you sacrificing for their success? Not competing with them, but celebrating them. That's what the right people do. And the right people not only sacrifice for your success, but finally, the right people spur you on. What we see in the life of Jonathan and David, we hear echoed in the words of the writer of Hebrews when he writes this. And let us consider how we may what? Spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I grew up on a farm in Arkansas, but the kind of farm, you know, rice, soybeans, that kind of thing. We didn't have horses and cattle and all of that stuff. So I kind of read this passage and think, oh, spur one another on. It's kind of like this nice, you know, like encouragement. You just spur. But if you're from Texas, you know that spur is not some gentle nudge. Okay, so I had to do a little digging and a little research. Did you know that in the original Greek, this word is paraxmus? Paraxmus, the Greek agrees with Texas, because in the Greek, paraxmus means to incite someone toward action. It means to provoke someone to action or to irritate someone to action. Some of you need people in your life who are irritating you just a little bit. into spiritual growth. And can I say this? When you're thinking about who do I have in my life that's spurring me on, can I just say this to you, especially if you're married? Okay, especially for us men who are married. Don't rely solely on your spouse to be the only one in your life spurring you on. That is too much pressure to put on one person. And men, I see too many of us kind of doing the Lone Ranger thing, and we put that pressure on our spouse. But it's too much to put on one person. You need people around you. You need men. You need men around you spurring you on to greater things, spurring you on to become more like Jesus. Alicia is my best friend, biggest supporter, biggest fan. But I can't solely rely on her to be the only one spurring me on. So who do you have around you? When I was in college, one of the things in my life, I've just looked back at my life and I've been so blessed just to have people speaking into my life along the way. When I was in college, I took a break from college for a semester because I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I changed my major like five times, okay? Okay, I changed it five times. There you go. Do you happy? I didn't know what so I was chasing all these dreams and I was starting to just feel lost. I sat down across the desk from a pastor who was probably about 10, 15 years older than me at the time. And if I could encourage you in this, if you're thinking about mentors, find that person who is just in a season ahead of you, somebody who is where you want to be. That's who you want to be around. This guy was one of them. And I started telling him all the things in my life. I'm just feeling lost. I don't know what to do. I'm just so afraid that I'm going to miss God's will for my life. And he stopped me. I'll never forget. He said, "You think that's humility, but that is arrogant." A spur right in my side. It did not feel good. It was uncomfortable. But that one line from him changed my life. It changed the direction of my life. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking totally different about the sovereignty of God and about how God gives us all these different paths that we can choose from. He just wants us to walk in obedience. I will never be the same because somebody was willing to spur me on. Who do you have in your life who is spurring you on? And who are you spurring on? I think these are important questions for us to ask as a church because this is God's game plan. This is how we were designed. We were made for community. Life was not meant to be lived alone. So, what do we do with this? Well, let me give you just a few practical next steps that we can take even this next week. Here's one. Identify the people in your huddle. Remember, you can't run the right play if you don't have the right people in your huddle. So identify the people in your huddle. Who are the right people for your life? Who shows up, sacrifices, and strengthens you spiritually? And who fights for you in prayer? So I want you to think about that for just a moment. Maybe you have somebody already in mind. Maybe this is somebody you're going to ask God to bring into your life. Maybe this is someone you already have in mind. If so, then do this. This week, text or call one friend who makes you better and thank them. Let them know you see and appreciate them. Do you know how encouraging it is to let someone know that they have encouraged you? Don't withhold the blessing. Text them, pick up the phone, call them. Yeah, I know we don't really do that much anymore. But encourage someone by letting them know how much they've encouraged you. Maybe they don't even know that they're this person in your life. How cool would that be to let them know? Here's the second thing that you can do this week. Be the friend that you're looking for. Maybe you're the one out of the four, the 25% who said, "I couldn't even name one person." That's okay. That's where you are. That's not where you have to stay. Be the friend that you're looking for. You want a loyal friend? Be a loyal friend. This is your starting place. You want a friend who strengthens you? Start strengthening others. You want someone who prays for you? Start praying for others. We drilled this into our kids' head. I mean, from a very early age. If we really wanted something to stick, we made a song. We made a song out of everything. But Annie, you remember the song? If you wanna make a friend, you gotta be a friend. If you wanna make a friend, you gotta be a friend. Yeah, it was big in across overseas. But we would sing songs like that because we really wanted that to stick. And I remember us singing that even as they were like, we were taking them, you know, to like daycare and things like that, even before they started school, because we wanted them to understand that this isn't about just sitting back and going, well, they did this or they didn't do that, or I don't have any friends. We wanted them to actively be the friend that they were looking for. And you know what happens when you're the friend that someone's looking for? You rarely have to look for friends. You're just like a friend magnet because people need that. So maybe that's the thing that you need to do. Friendship isn't about just finding the right people. It's about becoming the right person. And I'll say this too. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're dating. You're looking for that right person. Can I encourage you? Stop putting so much emphasis on finding the right person and just be the right person. And see what God does. So, the third thing we can do, if you don't have a huddle, you gotta get in the game. Here's a few suggestions. You can join an Oak Hills group. We have groups that meet all over this city. We have groups, for those of you worshiping online, we have online groups. People from all around the world come together just for the purpose of iron sharpening iron. To spur one another on. You can be a part of that. You can find out more about that. Maybe you want to serve on a team. Can I tell you that there are a lot of people finding relationships, friendships, community here at Oak Hills Church because they're serving. One of the reasons we want to serve is because we grow spiritually. Even Jesus modeled this himself. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. So you're gonna grow spiritually when you serve, but you know what else is gonna happen? You're gonna lock arms with people beside you for one common mission, to guide all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. And when you find purpose and you find common mission, you're finding your people. And so I wanna encourage you, if you're not serving on a serve team here, first of all, it's a lot of fun, but second of all, you're gonna find your people as you serve together with them. Here's the third thing. If all of that feels like just a big leap, then step into community. We've never done this before. Actually, it's going on right now. Sorry, it just started. Or maybe you could get up and run and go right now. I don't even know where it's at. It's in this building somewhere. But we're calling it step into community because we understand that some of you, you just want an opportunity to explore. I mean, we're always talking about like being in a group or starting a group. And for some, that's just too far of a leap. Well, this is an opportunity for you to just explore. So maybe you want to do that next week, or like I say, maybe you just want to get up and run right now and figure it out. But this is on Sundays, 11:30 to 12:30. Never mind, it's over. Sorry. That's preacher time right there. So you need the right friends. You don't just need good friends. You need the right friends. Why? Say this with me. The right people will help you become the right person. And you guys didn't seem nearly excited enough about that, so we're gonna do it again. The right people will help you become the right person. May it be so. May you find, may God bring the right people, may you seek the right people to be your people. Now here's the truth, and here's, honestly, the thing that I am more excited to say to you than anything I've said already. And that is, you don't just need the right friends, you need a savior. If no one's ever told you that, you don't just need friends, you need a savior. Why? because Scripture tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and our sin has separated us from God. So we don't just need more encouragement, we need salvation, we need redemption, and that is exactly what Jesus Christ offers you today, even in this moment. Listen, he did not just show up, he gave his life on a cross. And he didn't just sacrifice himself, he paid the price. It was nothing but the blood of Jesus that paid the price for our sins. And he did not just spur us on by his death, burial, and resurrection. He has given us forgiveness, a way to the Father to be forgiven and to have eternal life. That is what he offers you today. The question is, have you said yes to him? Have you said yes to his offer? If you have never surrendered your life to him and never said yes, there is no moment better than right now to begin a relationship with him. So I want to invite us. An opportunity is now. We're going to pray together. And then after we pray, if you're praying that prayer for the very first time or the first time in a long time, maybe it's been a while and you've been away from him and you've tried to do things on your own, but you just find yourself bringing back all the same old junk right back into your life, let him finally break the cycle. Give it to him. We're going to pray, and then if that's you, then I want to invite you to stand right where you are, as people have done today, to stand to declare your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said that if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. That is a promise straight from the promise keeper himself. You can leave today knowing without a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in the book of life. Let's pray together. And Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned. But I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.